individually and as a collective, our divine responsibility is to intentionally evolve, to untether from the limitation of lack, fear, and separation, and elevate into the unlimited truth of abundance, love, and oneness. As we release outdated paradigms and conditioning, we can embrace new paradigms that allow for unconditional joy and unprecedented success. The School of Becoming podcast is for women who are devoted to the evolution of their identity at every level. Women who are committed to actualizing their legacy through the embodiment of their highest selves. You deserve a new school for the most important work of your life. The change has to be each one of us. I am her as you are her, as you are me, and we are all one. Welcome to the School of Becoming podcast. I'm your host, Tracy Litt. I have the most extraordinary guest here sitting next to me. If you joined us for episode one of the relaunch of this podcast of the School of Becoming, I shared a lot about my story and I shared about being a single mother with an 8-month-old daughter and being on food stamps and what my journey was to what it is now. Well, that 8-month-old daughter is now this almost 21-year-old daughter. This gorgeous, gorgeous being is my daughter, Taylor. Taylor, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me, Mom. I'm so excited
to do this. I have tissues to my left because I'm gonna cry my eyes out, but shockingly, I'm not. There's so many places that I want to go in this conversation.
Take me everywhere.
Okay, great. Neither one of us are anything like who we were in the beginning of how our experiences, our human experiences started, right? True. You were that 8-month-old baby that was crying. I was in the garage begging for something to change. Everyone here has heard me say that you saved me in so many ways because I don't know that I would have shown up differently for myself at that stage in my life. And who I've been is zero indication of who I was capable of becoming as I'm sitting here. And I've watched you heal and grow and become through such adversity, through so many challenges, all which I know your soul chose. I'll give you some tissues too. See, it's okay. She's like, don't have tissues. You need tissues.
You did it. You started.
I know. What would you like to say to any of the younger versions of you?
It's a great but hard question. I feel so grateful. That's the one thing that I live by every day is just gratitude. I think you raised me and my sisters on that, but specifically like just finding happiness in little things, you know, like just being able to breathe outside is something that like I take advantage of. And I think that my little self was really unsafe and scared. And I think it's part of my adult journey to teach myself and my adult self that like safety is the most neutral and natural feeling. That's where we all need to be. Mm-hmm. So because I wasn't brought up in that, mm-hmm. and my homeostasis was to be in fight or flight and ready to defend what was coming next, I think it's important for me now to tell myself everything's okay. You know, the world is okay. I'm okay. I'm safe. I can escape or at least find an out from things that don't make me feel good. I'm not stuck, you know? Yeah. But I think it's a great question because I'm at, you know, 20, so leaving my childhood, but still feeling like a child. it's important to remind yourself that you're not there. Like
you don't live in that world anymore.
No. And I have to tell myself that sometimes because like my natural, mm-hmm. the little girl in me is always here. It's never going to leave, yeah. but it always tells me like, the first move is like, go or do that. And the adult me is like, breathe, right. Take a moment. Like, you're not in a rush. You're not stuck. You're not like unsafe. Like, and I think it's just a lot of slowing down for me. You know, I'm always in a rush to go somewhere.
I got there are that certain from things I just dripped into her and not the stuff we talked. We're changing the drip process, but impatience.
Listen, I got that from my mother, and it does great for us in a lot of instances. Yeah. It is not a negative sometimes, but there are times where it is. And I think it's really important to remember to just breathe and slow down.
Would you be open to sharing a little bit about what your upbringing was like?
Yeah, of course.
And if you feel good about it, you could also highlight like the differences in your households.
Oh, please. Yeah, that's highlighting the differences is one of my favorite things that I like to talk about because there's two different sides to my childhood. As you guys know, my parents separated when I was very young. And there's like the place that saved me. And then there's the place that was really hard to be at. And I'm grateful enough now that I have two homes that accept me and I feel safe at both and I love being at both. So I, like I said, constantly remind myself of that now. But growing up was rough sometimes. Also, I got two sisters, which I have to highlight was the biggest blessing, even though as a child wasn't always easy. But I, at one house, I was by myself. I was an only child. There were no children. There was a lot of alcohol involved. A lot of just harsh movements and negativity and a lot of also forced maturity very fast, I would say. Like
you were forced to become a parent as a child.
Yeah. Like there was, I guess I would say the biggest difference between my two houses is that one, I was a mom. I had to be a mom and I had to raise myself. And that was because of one parent. My biological father. I'm sure she's very good about being very kind and I appreciate it. And I am, as an adult, working to be kind and just as graceful as you are. But there was a lot of trauma that was caused by him and the way that he raised me and the choices that were made. And the things that I was surrounded by and exposed to at a very young age, you know, like I have a very vivid memory and I could not tell you how old I was, but I think I maybe was three. I just remember very clearly. It was midnight maybe. And we were downtown and it was not mom's night. Mom was entitled to going out with her friends. And I remember we ran into you. And I have a vivid memory of sitting in the car seat and looking out. And I saw your face. And it was like you were having fun because I saw you at first and then it just went to what? You were like, how are you here? Wait, it's midnight. You're not supposed to be here. And it was like it started that early for me of like acknowledging this is not right. Like I knew the things that were happening weren't right. And so it was just through actions very apparent that you were the role model and the things that you did were what was to follow because you were happy all the time. You were there for us all the time. If I called, you answered in the first ring. And if I didn't, you texted and said, I'm XYZ, text me, whatever. And there's just a lot of things that you showed to me, but also then to the two children that you were given that is just the reason that I have always followed you. So those are like the large comparisons, I would say.
When did you and how did you decide to break away from the trauma and your bio dad's environment?
When did I decide? Okay. So I would say that from 5 to 13, I was doing, I would call like 50-50%. Like technically, yes, I was supposed to be there 50%, but between school and projects, the other thing that I have to preface was that mom always lived near all of the things I did in life, as in school, activities, extracurriculars, friends, whatever. my biological father made a lot of choices to not be close to those things. So it made it harder, I think, like in addition to the mm-hmm. environment, but also just the location. So I don't even.
Do you remember? I remember.
Yeah, I remember vaguely. I remember memories of mm-hmm. like, I remember the consistency of calling you and asking you to jump through the window.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember that a lot. And I also remember the consistency of coming back to your house and just being like, do I have to go back?
Yeah.
And it's so interesting because, like, you know, as we talk about, like, child self and adult self, like, I was a child, I didn't know. That was all I wanted to do. I was just telling you what I wanted. As an adult, my heart is literally broken that you had to hear those things from your own child. Like, I don't even have kids, but I couldn't. If our cousins called, I would die.
I know, and it's, you know, one of the things that I have processed and truly done a lot of beautiful healing at the level of my body through totally. Is how much guilt I held because you were in that environment and because there were limitations to what I could do because of the legal system.
Yeah.
And I feel so proud and honored that we're sitting here having this conversation because I have always chose to evolve myself because of what I knew it would model and drip in for you. The fact that you're sitting here at 20 years old, articulating the words, old self, new self, healing trauma. I know every single person that is lucky enough to be watching this episode or listening is like, what? And I also know that you know that this is all a fucking illusion.
Yeah.
And none of this is real, yeah. right? That we are souls in these human experiences. And, you know, your soul chose your biological father and me as your biological mother because it needed the lessons that you've been willing to move through.
100%.
Will you just speak to that, what you think about what I just said?
100%. So, well, my first thought that I have to say is, there, God, the universe, whatever higher you believe in, you're never put in a situation that you're not supposed to be able to handle. Like, you have to do it. If you weren't put in that, you're supposed to be able to do it and you're going to get through it. And the thing that I think about daily is there was a parent that was really, really not great. And that's a fact. But then there was another parent who literally could have raised me all on her own. If he would have, God forbid, died the second I was born, I would have been okay. Mm-hmm. And I think about that a lot. You know what I mean? Because it's like, yes, there were a lot of emotional things and trauma and everything that I endured at such a young age, but I endured those things because you were the person that was able to help me get through it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, it's like how the soul made that choice.
Yeah. Like, and I think about, like, now as my adult self, I think about how Grandma Toby's really helped me. Because as a kid, you don't really, like, I don't know, like, when you don't have, like, a lot of memories with a grandparent or you don't have a relationship, you don't know a lot. Like, mm-hmm. you hear from you, she was great, whatever. You don't have any, like, this is what she did. Mm-hmm. And as an adult, like, in starting my adulthood, like, I look back at so many moments and I'm like, she was there mm-hmm. and I didn't process it, but she was there.
Yeah.
And I fully am, especially with my last name, I am a lit and I'm so grateful to be, but I fully embody all of those parts of myself and that part of my life. And it's really the Irish McCarthy part of me, it's very minuscule in my brain mm-hmm. and at least in who I embody in myself.
Mm-hmm. You went through an identity shift.
Yeah. It's actually funny too. Growing up, I remember there were moments where I'd be like, oh, we're gonna, you know, do Irish things, whatever. Not even just like for that, but just, I wasn't being my warm, mushy self, which was where I was supposed to be at the core. Mm-hmm. And mom would have moments of like, 15 and you don't know. And I would just be like, whatever, you're a mom and you don't listen. But ultimately, I, you know, I was a child going through whatever was happening in my brain traumatic wise and all those things. And I'm grateful to have come out on the positive and better side of it. Cause I mean, my friends and I joke all the time, like, if it wasn't for Tracy, where Taylor would be, like, I don't know, you know? So I truthfully think about, like,
isn't it
you
interesting?
Saving me.
Yeah, I was just going to say, isn't it interesting that it's like our souls were here to save each other?
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't live if you weren't here.
Well, I wouldn't have become who I became. I wouldn't have if you weren't present. And the reason that I longed for you and called you in was because Grandma Toby died.
I know.
My mother, you've heard me talk about her too. I was 24. She was 51. If she was still alive, you wouldn't be here.
Right.
It was that extraordinary loss that created this yearning in me. And I realized this somewhat recently, that I needed that maternal relationship, but I obviously couldn't have it in that direction anymore.
Right.
So I was like, great, I'm going to have a child.
Right.
And
that's so crazy.
Isn't it? So it's like this, and this is what highest good is.
Yeah.
You're tattooed on her arm.
29.
29. But everything happens for a reason, right? Your life mantra, like, which is my iteration of everything happens for your highest good. Grandma Toby had to pass for me to have that longing.
Yeah.
For you, your soul to come through to then save me so I could in return save you.
Yep.
And it's just, it's beyond.
It's just, yeah,
it's beyond.
It is the most like unreal thing, but it's so real.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Right.
And it's like little things. Like, she's just so great about showing up in the most random moments. Like, I was born at 2:01. It's the weirdest situation in the world. If you guys don't know, she passed away at 2:01 a.m. And I was born at 2:01 a.m., which is just weird. I have her hair color.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We do look really, like, really similar.
You do.
Yeah, it's interesting because also, like I said, as a child, you don't have any memory. You don't, you know, you have no real connection.
Yeah.
But as an adult, I couldn't feel more like her. Mm-hmm. And anyone that sends a picture in the family group chat or whatever, I'm like, oh my God, like,
yeah,
I look like her.
You do.
Like, you I do. Look like her. And I don't really like, we look alike, but I don't see it a lot. But I love, love, love our connection in my adulthood that I found with her. Because
she's so just, good.
I know. It's she's so the good. Best.
Oh, but,
there are three huge blind spots that are currently limiting you. Number one, you're not fully living what you teach and people can sense it. Number two, fear is slowing you down, but you don't even realize its insidiousness and omnipresence in your life. Thing three, your clients are getting mixed results and you don't know why. Prowess is gonna make all of that a distant memory. During Prowess, a brand new 3-day virtual event, you are going to make three undeniable power moves that will catapult you into a new stratosphere of integrity, influence, and impact. Power move number one, quit talking shit. Embody your expertise at a whole new level and become a walking billboard for your transformational work. Power move number two, put fear on your team. Stop stopping yourself from doing all the bold, beautiful things you know you're capable of and use fear to fuel all of your dreams. Power move number three, get better results, guaranteed. Discover why you and your clients currently get mixed results and how to get the breakthroughs you both intend like clockwork. Queen, it's time to close the gap on what you know and the results you get, and become so exceptional that you rewrite the game. Prowess is happening February 3rd through February 5th. Head over to theschoolofbecoming.com/prowess or to the link in the show notes and choose VIP, because that's exactly what she would do.
Yeah. Speaking of going, you saving me saving you, us saving each other.
Yeah.
I just want to say you're the best, and watching you do you. Like, it's just most monumental thing. It really is. You have changed every perspective I could ever have of the world. And it's because you've chased your dreams. Because you wanted to do something for yourself. I think, like, also, you started at, like, obviously, you didn't just come out being, like,
yes.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Yeah, she's always been her, but, like, you know what I mean? And I've seen you literally go back to school and start your life over again. And I remember, like, hearing little conversations with Dad of, like, how are we going to do this? Uh-huh. We have three children in school. And I just remember, like, you would go to school for a while. There were long, you know, there was a couple weekends or whatever. Yeah. And you were so dedicated to it. And I'd never seen you so dedicated to something in my entire life besides me. Right. So it was kind of cool. But yeah, it was just really, I remember very vividly. It was when dad surprised you with, like, that kayak or something after it was like a graduation gift. I don't know what happened.
One of the coaching immersive weekends I was in coaching school. Yes, I remember that.
But I remember very clearly, like, Dad explaining, like, because we were like, Mom, why is there a kayak in the house? And he was like, Mom has worked very hard. Right. And, you know, it was kind of to all three of us, you know. And I remember just being like, that's, wow. Yeah, Mom is doing something for Mom, you know, and it's also... Dad and I had an interesting relationship growing up. So, you know, when Dad would be like, Mom's doing something, I'd be like, she's doing nothing, Dad. I know you're just giving her a moment because he was being a good husband. But I always needed to be where you were. I always, if Mom went in the bathroom to get ready, I'm coming. I would be like, where are you?
Right.
And I just, it was really, I was younger. I think I was like 10, 11. But I remember having the memories of, like, Mom is putting herself first. Mom is doing something for Mom.
Stay there because it's really important for every mother and every potential young daughter listening. What did that teach you? Watching me prioritize me.
Good question.
What did that teach you about yourself or about life?
I always put myself first, if I'm being completely honest.
Yeah, you could say that louder for the people in the back.
That is something that, obviously, you tell me, obviously, my whole life I've been learning, it's put yourself first, then you cater to others, put yourself first, whatever. I will never cater to somebody if I'm not catered to first. And I think it's the whole concept, like, I'm sure everyone's told, oh, if your cup's empty, you can't fill somebody else's. It's literally the facts. Like, you cannot... show up and help somebody else if you are not okay. Like, it's like, it's so silly to me, but, like, it's true. Like, and it's the same thing with, like, loving yourself. Like, you can't give somebody motivate, empowerment, confidence if you're not feeling confident. Like, you know what? It's just like with everything, loving people. If you don't love you, you're definitely not unconditionally, wholeheartedly loving somebody else.
Yeah.
That's just truth. But I think it's like, because as a kid, you go, oh, Mommy's putting me second. That's your first thought. But when it's explained, no, Mommy has to take care of Mommy so that Mommy could take care of you.
Yes.
They're like, oh, okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I
think that that's the part that's overlooked is there's not the explanation. I'm also very big on... tell me the why. You know that? Mom would be like, no, why? So if you explain, there's no real reason that anyone could be confused or have a question. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because kids are very black and white.
Which totally, we know. Totally. What else was it like being, or not was it, because you still are.
I was going to say, what
is it like being my daughter?
It's the best thing in the world, truthfully. It is. But you know that. I tell you that all the time. It is. It's like, you're my this age is my favorite.
Yeah, same.
Okay, good. I'm glad
we're here. Same. Every woman I've talked to, some of you might be listening or watching right now, I always say the upper teen years into this, like, 18, 20, best. Best.
I think it's very fun. I'm glad you love it because I also always joke, like, my friends and I always say, like, we're adults, but we're not real adults because like Mom's still paying my bill. Like, so I always say the parents probably hate it, but the kids love it.
Yeah.
But I would just, it's like in this phase of life, you're my best friend, you're my mom, but you're like my sister. Like, it's very like, I can say my very favorite thing. Mm. I can call you with a problem, a question, advice, whatever. And the first thing you say, do you want guidance or do you want me to listen? That's what you say. It's like something along those different words, but, and it always just, it's amazing to me that that's your response, because I still have the response of like, well, let me tell you how I'm going to fix your problem. And then I come to you and you're like, Taylor, stop. You're not solving for everyone. Solve for yourself. I'm like, okay. All right. Listening. But like, you're just so good about being there and then catering to whatever I need in that moment. Mm-hmm. It's also hard. Mm-hmm. We live 4 hours apart. So
well, yes. And I want to underscore something for your implementation and for all of you that are listening. I don't know what you need.
Right. I have to tell you.
Right. You only know what you need. And beautiful listener, you don't know what your child, your spouse, your team, your client needs. So it's such a beautiful practice to take your own pause. And I will also add, because I am a teacher, this is part of you working through, right? Each person working through their own shit and, you know, healing their trauma in their body and releasing any level of, you know, high functioning codependency or needing to fix or being a savior 100%. Or people pleasing or whatever. And it's like taking that pause and just being like, okay, let me ask what's needed.
Yeah.
Because that is how your experience of me always, quote, being there isn't because of physical proximity.
True.
I have missed, all she ate for dinner her whole life was cereal. I missed plenty of game. All those things, those weren't important. And they weren't priorities for me.
True.
The priority for me was exactly what we're sitting in the result of, right?
Yeah.
You understanding who you are, you being able to articulate with ease. And we're just sitting on this couch talking. This wasn't a preparatory situation.
We like to do.
You know, and the greatest legacy of my life is you.
Thank you.
I will change millions of lives.
Yeah,
and I
have
already. But you are my fucking greatest achievement. Kathy says it all the time. She goes, she's your fucking PhD, Trace.
Shout out to Kathy. Love you, Kathy Eller. You're the best. You're the best. You are.
I just...
Thank you for saying
yes.
that.
Well, it's true. It's true. Everybody, I'm obsessed. It's fine.
And it's like, but it's funny because it's like vice versa. Obviously, these are your people, but my friends always like, if you call me, like, and you know, it's on speaker, how it goes to my car or whatever, they're just like, what? I'm like, yeah, it's my mom.
Because it's usually, hey, queen.
No, it's hey, queen. My favorite is when she really does the most embarrassing, like, sweet cookie or occasional love nipple, which that one is mom, I love you. It's gotta go.
I know, it's fabulous. Hey, love nipple.
No, it's great when I'm sitting in a car full of three or four of my friends and it happens to connect. I didn't do that, but you did. So you know, but like truthfully, like we're, you know, I'll be with my friends, whatever. And they're just like, that, like, that wasn't your mom. I'm like, yes, it was. Like, sounds like one of your best friends. I'm like, she is. Like, she literally, you know, because like you're like, hey, bye, queen, love you. Right. Like, you know, or you're just like, just checking in. Yeah. Like,
well, you are a queen.
Thank you. You're a queen too.
Thank you.
But, you know, I think it's also just like the way that you're not calling to, like, a lot of times parents are like, what'd you do? Blah, 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 blah. You know, calling to check the checklist of have you done your responsibilities or whatever. And you're very, very good about giving us the space to create our own habits, do our own things, and like, find hobbies and whatever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so, it's important for me to always teach you. And I do the same thing truly with all of my beautiful students, to trust yourself.
Yeah.
That you're a sovereign being, that you have agency, right? That you are a beautiful, healthy, independent soul. So it's partly that, and partly you were so hyper independent as an adaptive response to your trauma that I literally, like,
I have joked so many times. I've just fucking chased. I've been like running behind you. Like, can I try to parent you now? Can I?
And she was like, that.
Had it under control. But yeah. It's also a byproduct of me because we pass certain things down, right? And,
right.
And the hyper independence was something that I had grow through also. So. Yeah.
Well, I mean, in addition to us both just being so independent as people, but also then me being my own parent at a house. Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, like a prime example. Mm-hmm. I remember learning how to do my laundry. I think I was 6 and a half. Mm-hmm. Craziest concept. Mm-hmm. Craziest concept. But I remember learning how to do it. And then I remember then going home. Mm-hmm. And you went to go do something for me, laundry, whatever. And I was like, you don't have to do it. I remember. And you were like, you're my child. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do your laundry because I'm standing here and I'm doing mine. And I didn't understand the concept of like you taking... I was like, I got it. I do it myself.
Wait a second. I'm connecting the dots on something right now. This is so interesting.
Tell me. I love when people...
Because what happened for you and your need, because it was a survival need, mm-hmm. to parent yourself because you had to also... care for and parent him, mm-hmm. in his experience. Mm-hmm. Would you say it felt like almost pride and resistance to not allowing me to? What do you think prohibited you shifting into, okay, well, I'll let mom do it at her house,
right?
But I know I have to do it at dad's.
Yeah.
I'm seeing it was almost like armor.
Yeah. 100%. I think that... Little me didn't know, obviously, what the armor was.
Sure.
Little me also, I have to add, so obviously there was the very traumatic side of my life. As all of this is happening at one end, my beautiful sisters come in my life. And so I have to add, too, I was the only baby. Not like I had cousins, the first grandchild, the first niece, the first baby, the first everything. Mm-hmm. So then when I turned 5, my 2 sisters came in and... Best friends, love them to death. I am so grateful. But at 5, I didn't know what was happening. Yeah. I was sharing my room. My whole everything was shifted upside down. I had a playroom and a room. And then all of a sudden, everything was shared. And I just remember a lot of the changes. Yeah. And while simultaneously going through that with him. And so I know that there was a lot that came up for me in regards to the life that they lived with their mother as well.
Yes.
And... Because their mother is so attentive and does so much for them. I didn't get that. And then on top of that, I think that there were moments where Mads would come in or even Zoe and be like, well, mom does this for you. And I'd be like, do you know what you have? Yeah. Do you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even going to tell you. I'm just going to say those words to just give. But obviously, we're children. They don't know what that means.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that it was hard for me to like come back and then just be one of the kids. You know what I mean? Because I was raising myself.
Of course, of course. You know? And something else is just so beautiful because you see at such a high level. And something I want to just kind of bring into a moment of illumination is we don't know all the time which things are going to create a physiological trauma response in the body, right? So as I'm listening to you, I'm like, oh my God, so here I am, right? And we've processed a lot of this, you know, blending our family was moments of absolute hell, moments of absolute bliss. It just is, and it doesn't mean anything. It just was the experience that we don't know which things are going to create, you know, which event is going to create that physiological trauma response. So, you know, Dad and I had just met. We move in. We bring all the girls together. We're all excited, right? 3, 5, and 6. Poof. Instant family. Instant sisterhood. And what you were experiencing internally created more armor and more unsafety and a massive, massive change in your day-to-day world from being the sun, the moon, and the stars to now... compromising and sharing and comparison and the difference, because there was it is an overwhelmingly dramatic difference having an abandoning, alcoholic father, against your stepsister's mother, who is the extreme
opposite
of that. So I want to say it out loud because I'm recognizing it and I'm in such awe of you. And I want to talk to you about the work that you've done because it's important and I want everyone to hear. But I'm saying this to you, listener, because we just don't know. We don't know what events create the trauma. No, you're never going to be able to protect your child from every possible moment that might be the thing. The most important thing, and the only important thing, which is why I built a school for it, was that all of us wake up and realize that it is our divine moral responsibility to go within and evolve, which means to heal and to grow and to release the trauma that is stuck in our body so that we can rewire our brain, so that we can think differently, mm-hmm. so that we can step into our actual greatness and reach our limitless potential and live in a more progressive, loving, open-hearted world. So it doesn't matter what happened. It matters what you do with it. Once you are old enough and you recognize that you have agency and sovereignty and choice and who you've been is zero indication of who you're capable of becoming. And the past is in the fucking past. And as long as you move that shit out of your body, you're golden.
Boom.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. I love you so much. What do you want the beautiful women that are listening and what do you want young women that are in your stage of life to know?
I'm going to be redundant of what you say.
Do it.
You're whole. You are the most amazing person that you know, truthfully. And no one and nothing in life is that serious. Those are my three things.
Amazing, amazing. Okay, will you close us out with, so when Tay was, I forget.
I'll do it.
I know, but yeah, so it was... Was it during COVID that you started this?
No, my freshman year of high school, I like to do candle lightings. I got the idea from my friend Emma. Mm-hmm. We started doing it. I did it for 4 years straight.
She would light a candle.
I'd light a candle and I'd talk about my day. That was it.
That was her live stream.
60 seconds of chat and that was all.
And then she had a special outro that she did every time that we are going to use for today. Take it away, Tay Tay.
Don't forget to love yourself, love others, spread positivity, be happy, smile, and I fucking love you.
Fucking love you. Until next time, there's always more love. I love her. I love you.
Thank you for having me on. I love you.
I love you so much.
My God.
Thank you for your energy and attention today. I honor how valuable it is. Please take a quick moment to leave a review and share what resonated the most. If it feels aligned, share the show with another trailblazer just like you. With every review and every share, you are contributing to the elevation of the collective consciousness of our world. And for that, I thank you.